Hallelujah. Aren't you thankful for his grace? Amen, amen, amen. We're glad to have Lindsay and Jason Altop with us today, and they're guests of Jenny Kaufman. Where are they? They're here somewhere. We're so glad you're here today. God bless you there in the back. We're thankful to have you with us as our guests. Amen. And you can be seated. I want to let you know that we do have a trip coming up. The Sunday school department, part of the rewards that they give to the children that have completed all of the different goals that they have, is they the thing that they're going to do this time anyway is to go to the Creation Museum. And Brother Pace asked me to just kind of make this open to everyone. They will be taking a couple of the children as a reward. Their trip is paid, their food is paid, all of that for that day. But if anyone is interested in going, then we need to know by October the 8th, and they'll need your money by October the 8th. So that's next Sunday. If you'd like to go, adults is $20. Kids 12 and under is $12. How many's been to the Creation Museum before? I hear it's just awesome. I've never been there myself, but I just hear great things about it. So if you'd like to go with the church, let Brother Pace know. You can let Brother Jordan know or their wives that you would like, that you might be interested in going, and we can get your money in and you can go with us. We will try to make transportation. If we have enough interest in this, we'll get a van and we'll just transport and do that way. Otherwise, we probably do carpooling. So we need to know that. The trip, again, is November the 4th is when the actual trip will take place, and we need to know by next week. Brother Sebastian Helms is having a celebration, a kind of a going away party. He's headed off to training for the guards, and he'll be gone for a while. And so we are going to be gathering on the 14th in the annex, 2:30 to 5:30. This is posted on the bulletin board, and we're going to be praying for him and his family while he's in training. Amen. We've got a very nice thank you card here, beautiful card from Sister Mullis, Brother Runyon, Sister Mullis, and the family, thanking us for the kindness and the prayers and the gifts during Sister Runyon's funeral and her passing. We'll put this on the bulletin board so you can see that as well. We still are praying for the family. Amen. All right, if you would stand one more time, let's just pray. Let's ask the Lord just to bless our hearing of the word, the preaching of the word today. How many want to receive something from the Lord? I don't know about you, but I need something from God today. Amen. Why don't you just reach up to heaven? Lord, in the name of Jesus, would you just open our hearing, open our understanding, open our ears, our hearts, our spirits. Let us receive, Lord, what you have for us today. God, we pray, God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I feel like you've laid this on my heart to deliver to your sweet people. So I ask you, Lord, that you would help me, God, under your anointing and your unction to deliver what thus saith the word of the Lord this morning. And we give you the glory and the praise. And why don't you clap your hands one more time to the Lord of Lords. Seated in the presence of the Lord. Thank you for standing. How you feeling today, Brother Kaufman? Doing all right? Some of us went up to Muncie yesterday. You know, I don't know, mention this very often, but you know, I'm 50. Turned 50 this year, and I'm still trying to hang with the youngsters. We went to a She's for Christ softball tournament. We played 6 games of softball yesterday. I feel great, man. I do feel pretty good. Just knowing I did it feels pretty good. Still breathing, amen. But we had a great time there. But anyway, if I'm moving a little bit stiff today, maybe that's why. But we had a great time. So I feel like I went to bed last night and had my message all ready, and then the Lord woke me up earlier than normal this morning and kind of just changed my direction and dropped this in my heart. So I'm reading from 1 Thessalonians, and if you want to just open your Bibles there and follow along with me in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, and Paul is writing to the church in Thessalonica, and in this particular part of his letter, he's expressing to them his regret that he was not able to come to them. He and his cohorts had desired to come and visit them again and see how they were doing. And he's giving them this list of reasons why they simply weren't able to make it. In fact, you'll see here in a moment that he ascribes it to Satan hindering them from being able to come. And so let's look at this in verse number 17. He says, "But we, brethren, being taken from you for a short time in presence," not in heart, "endeavored the more abundantly to see your face with great desire. Wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us. For what is our hope or joy, or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For ye are our glory and joy." Now I want you to see here that Paul is saying that his hope, verse 19, his joy, his crown of rejoicing. He says, what is that? What is my hope? What is my joy? What is my crown of rejoicing? He says, it's you. He says, you being in the presence of the Lord. Now, I think some of you will get this, but you may not be able to get it as much as Paul got it. And you may not be able to get it on the same level that pastors get this, but you'll get this, because if you have ever prayed for somebody to come into the kingdom of God, or you've ever led somebody into the kingdom of God, there's just something about that. You almost feel like that those are your children, and those are your people, and God has used you and anointed you, and in some way or another, you were instrumental in those people coming to the Lord. And so you will pray for those people. You pray for others too, but you pray for those people in a certain way, and you look at those people in a certain way. And Paul says, you know, I was there. I preached the gospel to you. I led you into the kingdom of God. God used me. And so when I think about you in Thessalonica, there's something special about you. And when I know that you're still in the presence of the Lord, when I know that you've gone through some things and you're still carrying on, when I know that the devil has tried to stop you, but you're still marching, you're still praying, you're still showing up, you're still worshiping God, there's something. He says, that is my crown of rejoicing. That's where I find my joy. That's where I find my hope, is that you are still serving God, living for the Lord, worshiping God. Amen. And I'll tell you, even as a pastor, that there's something about it all. You know, there's one, we get excited about a lot of different things, but I'm going to tell you, when I look out there and I see some of you, that the devil's done his best to knock you out and drag you out and suck the life out of you and knock the breath out of you. And I know what some of you are going through, but I look out here on Sunday morning and sometimes I look back there and here you are walking in the door. And I'm telling you, as your pastor, oh, I rejoice in the fact. And I say, devil, you tried, but you can't get God's people. You can't keep a good man and a good woman down, because you don't understand the grace of God. And I'm telling you, as a pastor, I shout with you. I rejoice with you. It's my crown of rejoicing that you are still in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul says, I want you to be in the presence of the Lord at his coming. I'm excited when I see people baptized. I am. I'm excited when I see people get the Holy Ghost. I am. But I cannot express to you the joy in my heart when a year later, come on now, a year later, that guy that came up here, prayed, and looked like the devil was having his way in his life, and a year later, here he comes in with his Bible under his arm and his sweet wife walking in with him and his children lined up there on the pew going to Sunday school. There's just something about it. I'm glad you prayed. I'm glad you got the Holy Ghost. But oh, I rejoice that you're carrying on. I rejoice you're here a year later. 5 years later, your life has been changed. You're serving God. You're continuing in the faith. Amen. Somebody shout amen. Amen. So we've got to continue in this thing. He says, for you are our glory and joy. Wherefore, verse 1, chapter 3. Wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone. We wanted to come to you, but we decided to stay here. And so we sent a representative, Timotheus, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith. Now, I will tell you that one of Paul's last remarks in his life, when he's talking about finishing his course and completing his race, and he says, I've fought a good fight. And one of the things he says about himself is he says, I've kept the faith. I've kept the faith. My faith came under attack, but I kept the faith. There were times when I felt like giving up, but I kept the faith. There were times I've questioned God maybe even in my life, but I kept the faith. There were times when that's all I could do to keep going, but I kept the faith. And the most wonderful thing that can be said at your funeral someday is he kept the faith. She kept the faith. They went through some things, but they kept the faith. And Paul says, for you are our glory and joy. Wherefore, when we couldn't come to you, we sent to you a representative, our brother, minister of God, our fellow laborer. Why? So that he could comfort you concerning your faith. Verse 5. For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent Timotheus to know your faith. He says, I didn't send him to see if you're prospering in monetary means. I didn't send him to see, make sure y'all got good jobs, or I didn't send him to see if y'all wearing the best suits and the best dresses in town. I didn't send him to see if you're in a great building program. Come on now. I didn't send him to check on, see if everybody's, you know, just getting along splendidly and everybody's flourishing. No, I didn't send him to see if he got the best Sunday school program. He said, I sent him, and what I wanted him to do was put his finger on the pulse of your faith. I need to know if you still have the faith, because Paul understood what Jesus tried to convey to Peter, that if you can endure with your faith intact, then you can endure anything. Even though the devil may try to steal your faith, if you can hold on to your faith, you might be beaten, but you won't be defeated. You might get knocked down, but you're going to get back up. The devil may test you and try you, but you'll keep on walking as long as you keep. Somebody say, I've got to keep the faith. I've got to keep the faith. The devil's going to try to rob you. He's going to try to bring it down like a victor brings down the flag over a fort. But you got to keep the faith flying high. I didn't say you won't be attacked. You will be. I didn't say you may not go through some trials. Hear me when I tell you, you will. But I came to tell you that no matter what the devil tries to bring your way, as long as you hold on to your faith, I still believe, God, you're there. I don't always know where you are, but I know you are there. I don't always understand what I'm going through, but I know you're going to see me through. And as long as you can hold on to your faith, Paul said, I sent to know your faith. Of all the things I could check on, I wanted to check on your faith. Of all the things I could have told Timothy to look at, I wanted him to check. I wanted him to put that little cuff on your arm and check and make sure your faith blood pressure still where it should be, your heart still beating the way it should be. All the things I could test, all the things I could ask him about, I needed to know, how are you doing in your faith? To know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you, and watch this, and our labor be in vain. Paul says, it is possible that all of the labor that we've poured into you, all the care that we've given you, all the witness, all the teaching, all the work, all the gospel that we've preached to you, it could be in vain if you lose your faith. But now when Timotheus came from you unto us and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, and that you have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us as we also to see you. Therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in all our affliction and distress by your faith. You see how this works? There's times when I'm attacked and I've got to hold on to my faith. but there's something comforting in knowing that you still have your faith. And there's times when you come under attack, and you got to hold on to your faith. But doesn't it look good this morning to look around here and see that there's still people that have the faith too? And when you raised your hand a while ago, when Brother Gunderman said, anybody need prayer? You slipped a hand up, and there's other people here saying, I'm praying for you. I'm standing with you. Aren't you glad? And Paul said, I was comforted even in my affliction. Even in my distress, I was comforted just knowing you still have the faith. Amen. There's something powerful about coming in here to the sanctuary of the Lord and gathering with other people. Because no matter what I've gone through this week, no matter what you've gone through, when we gather in here and I see your smiling face, and I hear, when that music starts cranking up and you stand to your feet and you raise your hands to the Lord, I know you're not worshiping for me. And I'm not worshiping for you, but there's something about it. Paul says, it comforts me. It comforts me. And when Sister Wanda, when you get up and testify and say, look, I lost my sight. I was blind 3 days in my house. She stood right here and told you about it last Sunday night. Didn't she do a great job of sharing her testimony? The Lord used her so mightily. And she said, I was blind in my house 3 days. I couldn't see. Had to hunt for food and pray that God would send somebody. And when she shares that with you, some of you that are going through things say, oh, if she went through that and she still has the faith, that comforts me in my affliction and in my distress, because if God saw her through, that's why we've got to share our testimony. That's why we've got to keep on worshiping. That's why we've got to keep on smiling. That's why we keep on marching. Because listen, you're not the only one affected by your faith. Other people are affected by your faith. Could you imagine what a terrible debacle it would be if I would carry all of my sorrows and all of my anguish and all of my distress, if I were to carry that and just not lay it down at the altar, just carry it to the pulpit. Every time I came up here, I would just weep and mourn and bemoan and tell you all the problems and all the distresses. But wouldn't that bring you down after a while? You'd think, man, I need some food. I need somebody to feed me. I need to leave church feeling better, not worse. And so I share not my woes, not my sorrows, not my distresses. You've got those too. I get up here and share my faith with you. I still believe God. I'm still trusting God. I'm still giving it all to the Lord. And he's brought me through some things. And if he brought me through some things, how many know he'll bring you through some things and he'll never leave you nor forsake you? Oh, come on, I need somebody to get with me this morning that believes that God is still on the throne, still answers prayer, still does miracles, still sees his people through. Oh, somebody clap your hands and shout to the Lord. Come on and give him praise, give him praise, give him praise. Woo. Glory, glory, glory. My, my, I almost got confused and took a drink of the microphone. Talked into the bottle of water. I feel good this morning. I really do, Brother Kaufman. I feel good. You got to be thinking, if an old 50-year-old man can feel good, then I'm going to feel good too. You got to be thinking that. Sharing my faith, sharing my faith. Oh, glory to God. Let me show you something. Go to Luke 22. Go there in your Bibles if you have them. Luke 22 and verse 31. Let me read for you what I just alluded to about Peter and Jesus. Luke 22, 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as a wheat. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when you're converted, he said, then you need to strengthen thy brethren. Your faith is contagious. Now, your bad attitude is contagious. Before Peter really got the victory, his bad attitude was very contagious. Remember when he said, I'm just going to go fishing. And the people around him said, you know what? That's contagious. I'll go too. Be careful what comes out of your mouth. Be careful what you give into. Because you don't go alone. Somebody you may not even know who it is will say, I'll go too. I think I'll take a minute here and just badmouth the church. Somebody will say, I'll go too. I think I'll just speak some doubt. Somebody will say, not everybody, but somebody will say, I'll go with you. I think I'll take a minute and gossip for a while. I'll go with you. I think I'll just complain for a little while. I'll go with you. I think I'll just sit here and weep and cry and bemoan. And somebody will, there's always somebody that will go with you. And when you get weak in your faith, people are affected by that. I'm going fishing. I'm giving up. We'll go with you. Jesus said, look, you're going to get converted. I'm praying for you. You're going to reach a point where you're almost ready to sink. When Peter went out there on that boat fishing, he was almost to the point of giving up, Brother Bunch. But Jesus said, I'm praying, Peter, for your faith. Because if your faith remains intact, you will not go under. So I pray for your faith that it will not fail you. And I like it that Jesus didn't say, if you're converted, but when you're converted. You're going to make it. Amen. I speak into your life this morning, Turning Point. Not if you make it, but when you make it through this thing, strengthen other people. Not if you get through this valley, but when you come out of this valley, turn around and strengthen somebody else. Turn around and bless somebody else. Turn around and pray for somebody else. Not if you make it, but when you make it, you're going to be stronger. You're going to be better. You're going to have a testimony, and you're going to reach somebody for Jesus. If you believe it, shout amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Satan desires to have you that he may sift you as wheat. He wants to put you in the sifter and shake you up. It was the final separation phase of wheat from the chaff. It started out in the field. When the wheat would reach maturity, it would be cut down, mowed, gathered into sheaves, brought into the threshing floor, threshed out by the ox, by the hooves of the ox, or beat out by a tool, separated then. And then they would take the fan, the little pitchfork-like tool, and get it and toss it up into the air to further separate, and the wheat would fall in one pile and the chaff in another. But the final separation of that, to reach the perfect product of wheat, was to bring even that pile that was wheat, still had little particles of chaff in it, the waste product. And so usually the woman of the house would gather that and bring it into the house or back behind the house, and there she would have a little sieve, a little sifter, and she would place that final product into the final process tool and just begin to shake it. And then she would sift out and separate out the little bit of chaff that was remaining. And Jesus is saying to Peter, Satan is going to put you in that sifter. He's going to shake you. You will be shaken. You will be tested. You will be tempted. And the devil's desire is for you to come up as chaff. But I'm praying for your faith, Peter, that when you're shaken for all you're worth, you will not come up chaff, but you will come up wheat. And your faith will be strong. Your faith will be intact. You will make it through this. And when you make it, when you make it, when you are converted, when you get converted, when you make it through this thing, I want you to go bless her. And when you make it through this thing, don't just sit there and rejoice in yourself that you made it. Oh, thank God. Go bless her. And when you make it through this thing, don't just sit there in your own little bubble. But you go share your testimony with him. And when you make it through, you see how this thing works. And pretty soon, we're not going around discouraging one another. We're going around encouraging one another. Hey, I made it. You can make it. If I made it through that heart attack, you can make it through a heart attack. If I made it through that surgery, you can make it through that surgery. If the devil tried to kill me and I made it, you can make it. Come on, somebody. I made it through a divorce. You can make it through a divorce. My kids abandoned me, and I'm still here. You can make it too. Oh, I got fired from my job, but I'm still here. And if I got fired and God kept me, he'll keep you too. Come on, we need to hear faith, 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 faith. If I made it through, you're going to make it through. God's not going to leave you, and the devil's not going to kill you. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We're faith builders. We're builders. We're not in the demolition business. We're in the building business. Oh, I got to say that again. We're not in the demolition business. We're in the building business. We don't tear down the kingdom. We help build up the kingdom. We don't tear down one another. We help build up one another. I'm not here to discourage you. I'm here to encourage you. Hallelujah. You can go to any bar in the world. People tell you how bad it is. You can sit on any bar stool in any tavern anywhere and find somebody to slip up beside you and buy you a drink and share with you. Yeah, I know what you mean. It's getting bad. Oh, I went through that too. Oh, you ever have somebody when you're getting ready to go through something and they come up, they just want to tell you how bad it's going to be. Huh? I don't know if I mentioned this or not, but this year I turned 50 years old. And when you turn 50, the doctors have all this good news for you. All these tests they want to run. I'm not going to stand up here and tell you what they are, but if you turn 50, you know what some of them are. They're not stuff you get up and talk about in the pulpit. But you know what I'm talking about. I went Friday. I got ready Thursday after a funeral. Went Friday, played 6 games of softball yesterday. Somebody ought to say, he's a man. Now listen, I'm getting ready to do that thing, that test. I don't want a bunch of people coming up to me saying, oh, let me tell you how bad that's going to be. Stay away from me. You know what I'm talking about, brother, all the time. I want some of you people that went through it and said, oh, I don't even remember a thing. It's a piece of cake. Worst part about it is drinking that junk. I don't want to talk to you. I don't want to talk to you people the drugs didn't work on. Stay out of my, I don't need to hear, I want to be encouraged. You get what I'm talking about? When you're getting ready to go through something, you don't want people coming up telling you how bad it is. Oh, yeah. Oh, my great-great aunt, uncle's wife's sister, she had that. She died. Oh, yeah, I read about that on Facebook. Well, it's got to be true. That's the worst thing in the world that you got, you know. Stay away from me. I don't want you people going fishing in my ear. I want those people that say, let's go pray. I go fishing. I'll go too. No, let's go to the upper room. I'll go with you. Let's go pray. I'll go with you. Let's believe God. I'll go with you. Come on. Peter, when you're converted, go strengthen your brethren. Watch this. I prayed for your faith that it wouldn't fail. When you're converted, strengthen your brother. Jump down to verse 39. And he came out and went, and as he went, as he was wont, to the Mount of Olives. And his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, this is the Garden of Gethsemane. He said unto them, pray that you enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast. He kneeled down, he prayed. Now another account of this same story. Jesus asks them, watch with me, pray with me. I need you to pray right here. Can you imagine Jesus trying to convey to these other human beings what he's going through? And sometimes, have you ever been somewhere where you cannot explain it? I could spend all day trying to tell you, but you wouldn't understand. All I can ask you to do is pray. Would you just pray with me? You're not going to get it if I try to tell you. But if you could just watch, I just need to know somebody's watching with me, praying with me, and you can't go here with me. I got to leave you here. and I've got to go over here. There's places that you go sometimes. You can't even take your husband. You can't even take your wife. You can't even take your kids. You can't even tell the pastor. I just need to know you're praying. You won't understand what I'm going through. And I've got to leave you here, and I've got to go over here. I won't be very far, but I've got to go over here and do my thing with the Father. And I just need to know you. And that's all he said. I just need you to watch. I just need you to pray. And he went about a stone's cast and kneeled and prayed in verse 42. And he said, Father, if you're willing, remove this cup from me, but nevertheless, not my will, thy will be done. There appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling to the ground. And when he arose up from his prayer, was come to his disciples, he found them. Watch this. He found them sleeping for sorrow. Now, I've never caught that little phrase before. Have you ever read something and read something and read it, and then one time you're reading it and something just jumps off? I've never caught those three little words, sleeping for sorrow. Sleeping for sorrow. And he said unto them, why do you sleep? Rise up and pray, lest you enter into temptation. One of the characteristics of Luke's writings is that his observations were filtered through the lens of a doctor. And so his records, they're written with that slant. He is particularly aware of the psychological and the physiological components of the miracles and the actions and the events that he witnesses. You'll see things Luke points out from a different angle. The other men, that didn't resonate with them, but with Luke, he writes these little things. He wrote more about the physical miracles than the other men did, because he, as a doctor, that's why he was constantly astounded. Wow. And the Bible says that Jesus found, and Luke records it this way. The others didn't record it this way, but Luke records it. He found them sleeping. Would you say sleeping for sorrow? I want that to stick with you in the years to come. So while the other gospels simply state the fact that the disciples slept, he assigns it psychologically and physiologically to its cause. Prolonged sorrow has a numbing and a narcotizing effect upon people. It's like a drug that makes us sleepy. If we're not prayerful, if we're not careful, sorrow will put us to sleep. So I had that procedure Friday. I remember them wheeling me back to the room. I remember the guy saying, I'm going to now administer the sedative. I remember taking about 10 breaths. And then I remember somebody saying, we're all done. Sweet words. I don't remember anything in between. I remember we're all done, and then I remember trying to get my eyes open. I'm laying there eating some Cheez-It crackers. Oh, they were so good, because you're on a liquid diet the day before. Oh, they were so good. Drinking a Sprite. I don't even like Sprite, but oh, it was good. And my wife says that I kept looking at her winking. I don't remember. But that's my heart. I said, I hope I wasn't doing that to the nurses. So I remember that. I remember, barely remember, you know, getting my stuff together, getting my clothes on. And then I get in the car. And I asked her this morning, I said, what did you fix me for lunch when we got home? Oh, you said you wanted chicken noodle soup. Oh, okay, I don't remember. Because that was still in my system. It's a drug that I think it's a verset that it kind of just wipes your memory, even if you're, because what they want is that it's called conscious sedation. Some procedures they need you to be awake for, but they don't want you to remember it when you're done. They want you awake, but they don't want you very much awake. They want you to be able to nod and answer and talk, but they don't want you to really be present. And there's a drug for that. And it does that. And it's in your system for a while. And there's also pills that they'll give you. You ever have a bottle that when you read the instructions, it says, do not handle heavy equipment. Do not operate heavy machinery. Do not drive while you're on this. Do not. And they sent me home and said, don't make any important decisions for the next 24 hours. Don't enter any contracts for the next 24 hours. Don't drive. You got to bring a driver. We won't do this if you don't have a driver with you. You can't drive home. It didn't say it. They probably would say, don't play any softball tournaments in the next 24 hours. That wasn't on there. I checked. And I didn't ask. And so I said, she said, well, we stopped by. Remember, she goes, if you wanted chicken noodle soup, we stopped at the dollar store on the way home, and I bought some stuff. And I said, no, I don't remember at all, because I was just laid back sleeping. Got home, I ate lunch, and don't remember eating lunch. Man, I got some good sleep that afternoon. I slept good. But I don't remember much about it. Now listen to me. Sorrow. They were sleeping for sorrow. Sorrow is a narcotic to your spirit. You stay depressed long enough. You stay sorrowful long enough. That's why it's okay to cry at funerals, and it's okay to mourn the loss of somebody. But next week, you need to start getting better. And next month, you should be better. And a year from now, you should be a lot better. And I get concerned about people that are grieving the same a year later as they were the day of the funeral, because that'll get in your spirit. You lost your job 10 years ago, and you're still just as angry and bitter and sorrowful about it as you were when it first happened. That'll get in your spirit. Somebody did you wrong. There's people in this room maybe that can tell you everybody that's ever done them wrong for the last 25 years, and the room that it happened in, and the sweater that person was wearing when they did it, and the way they had their hair combed, and with the temperature outside, it was raining. I remember. They remember every little, and you carry that in your spirit. And every time you think about it, it brings you down. It brings you down. It brings you down. And you entertain that stuff. And I'm telling you, it is a narcotic drug for your spirit. Wallowing in pity and wallowing in self-pity and wallowing in sorrow and wallowing in depression and just staying there. It'll put you to sleep. Sister Nancy, it's so good to see you back at church. It's not her first time back, but I missed her the first time. She just sneaks in the back. She's so quiet. Come through open heart surgery a few weeks ago. How many weeks have it been now? 3, 4, 5 weeks? You look good. You're doing so well. We're so glad you're here. But I've been there, and you could very easily, going through that stuff, just sit around, all the psychological stuff, that's what you could just stay there. You could just sit there. Oh, I'm a victim. Oh, why did the Lord let me? But you got to rise up out of that stuff. Somebody told on you, sister. They said, man, we can't hardly keep up with her now. She's always wanting to go, let's go here, let's do this, let's go that. You know, that's awesome. And I just smiled, and that's what I want to hear. I don't want to hear, we can't even get her out of bed. She's just sitting there saying, just bring me something, just bring me this. I don't want to see anybody. Then you get concerned with that spirit, because it'll put you to sleep spiritually. And this is what the devil wants for you. He wants to rock you, sift you, maneuver you into a place that you go to sleep. A conscious sedation. You are awake enough to go to church. You're awake enough to nod. When the preacher says, do you love Jesus? Aren't you glad to be here today? Anybody want to pray? You want to come and pray today? Hey, we had an all-night prayer meeting a couple years ago. Remember that? Yeah, it's good when you're 6 o'clock shift. I was on the, I think it was a 2 or 3 in the morning shift. And had a prayer partner in here with me, and I think he and I were, half of our prayer was, Lord, keep him awake. He was praying, Lord, keep him awake. And I was like, Lord, keep him awake. There's something about that 3 a.m. shift. But the devil wants you to be like that all the time. 9 o'clock, Sunday morning. And you know, I don't remember eating that chicken noodle soup. Some people come to church. Test yourself on these days. Were you here Wednesday when the young people came back in? And they had youth service over there. Then they all came in here because we baptized a couple of young people Wednesday night. And I said, hey, did you guys have a good service? Yeah. Jordan preach? Yeah. What did he preach about? That was like 5 minutes ago. Now, they didn't actually forget. They just had a hard time putting it into words. I think Garen finally spoke up and said, well, you preach about living out your faith. And Jordan walked in. What'd you preach about? Living out your faith. Word for word. That's pretty cool. But we can be that way sometimes. Anybody ever, you bump into somebody at the restaurant sometimes, hey, what did Brother Hawkins preach about today? He preached about the Bible. And Jesus. Oh, it was good. I remember shouting amen about 10 times. 9 o'clock, time to go to church. 5:30, time to get to church. 7:30, Wednesday night, time to go to church. And the devil's okay with you going through this walk consciously sedated. You can respond if the preacher asks you. You're really not there. Just don't retain it. Don't go out and live it. They wanted my wife there after the procedure because the nurse told me before the procedure, we're going to give you information. We want your wife in here because you will not remember what we're telling you. That's smart. I don't remember what they said. And so it is with us sometimes. Says, I don't care if you go to church. Steve Porter, Jeff Porter, go. Sister Nanny Porter's boys, go to church. Just don't remember what happened while you were there. Just when you leave, don't remember what the sermon was about. Don't remember what the message was about. Just go right on about your business as though you know you were there. You put in your time. Your name's on the roll. Just don't live it. Come on, you with me this morning? Conscious sedation. They were sleeping for sorrow. They were so prolonged in their sorrow that it just vexed their spirits to the point where, like a narcotizing drug, it just put them to sleep. Jesus said, wake up! Get up! Don't sleep, church. Wake up. This is time to be fasting, not eating as much as our belly can hold every day of our lives. It's time, if we've ever needed to fast, wake up and fast. This is a time of, we need to push away Facebook every once in a while and Twitter every once in a while and Instagram and whatever other stuff you're on and just push it away once in a while because that stuff is like a narcotizing drug. Is it not? You ever see these people walking around? Nobody in this room, but you've seen these people. I don't want to hurt any of your feelings, but some of your kids, 5 minutes before church starts, I walk up to shake their hand. And I'm like this. They're asleep. I'm not trying to hurt your feelings, but you better wake up and wake your kids up. During the sermon, these things ought to be put away. It's not time for your kids to be watching Netflix and playing games on their phone. That'll put them to sleep. They're here, but they're not here. There comes an age when those little toys get put away. Church is not a playground, it's church. Wake them up. Hey, 5-year-old, you can pay attention at school. Pay attention at church. Your kids are going to get to 7 and 8 and 9 and 10. They're going to be 15, 16, 17, 18. You're going to be praying that your 18-year-old gets baptized. Folks, I'm seeing young people, not from here, but I see young people from other churches. They're 15, 16 years old, never been baptized, gone to church their whole life. Don't worship, don't respond, go to church. Their parents serve the Lord, but they're not even present. They know who's doing what and where, and oh, where are you going to eat afterwards, and all the teenage drama that's going on. They know all about that stuff right here. Yeah. What'd the preacher preach on? Oh, the preacher preached. Oh, we had chicken noodle soup. Oh, you went to the dollar store. Oh, the doctor said not to do this or that. I didn't know. I was asleep. I'm telling you, the devil will use whatever he can to put us to sleep. Go to church. Just don't get involved in church. Go to church. Just don't get involved. Just go sit. Do your time. Go home. I'm preaching to some of you. You need to get off the seats. Get involved in your church. You need to get involved with your church. You need to get involved with the body of Christ. You need to do something in the kingdom of God. Come on, put this junk away that's got you all bogged down and worried. I'm telling you, some of the best medicine for sorrow, just get in there with people that aren't in sorrow. Amen. We sit around at home all day long, weeping and crying and thinking about all the bad stuff. Or say, you know what? I think I'll just go hang out with somebody that's not wallowing in sorrow today. Somebody I can laugh with, somebody I can pray with, somebody I can talk about the Lord with. Wake up, wake up, wake up. Church, we need to be fasting like we've never fasted. We need to be praying like we've never prayed. We need to be on fire like we've never been for the Lord. And we need to wake our kids up, and we need to wake our grandchildren up. We need to wake our wives up. We need to wake our husbands up and say, come on, we got to serve God like we've never served Him. We've got to walk closer than we've ever been. This is not time to be sleeping for sorrow. This is time to be rejoicing. This is time to be shouting for joy. Shouting for joy, shouting for joy. Come on and stand with me, would you please? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. See, the very simple fact of the matter is, and it's sad to say, but it is true, I think you would agree, that if we're not very careful and very prayerful as the church, we're going to be going around trying to handle heavy equipment while on some narcotic drug of sorrow. Trying to do spiritual warfare while yawning. Never work. How are you going to be sensitive to the Spirit if you're asleep? How are you going to be? There's just some things. Moms and dads, hear me when I tell you. There's some things that you need to be not just intuitive about, but spiritually discerning about. About your children. What's going on in your home? What's going on in your family? What's going on in your kids? What's going on? What's going on when they're on that stuff? What's going on? And I'm going to tell you, some of you ain't smart enough up here to know what's going on here. I've been trying to investigate some stuff that's going on Instagram. I don't even know how to navigate Instagram. I have to call my daughter in and say, what in the world? Help me out here. Right? Some of you grandmas, if you want to figure out your phone, call your grandkids in there. I mean, your 5-year-olds. Here, grandma, help me out here. There you go. It's fixed. So I'm not trying to insult you when I say you're not smart enough. I'm just saying it's a generational thing. You won't be able to navigate like that. So you better be on your knees in prayer. You better get in there and look as much as you can, but you also better be saying, Lord, help me look through this stuff here now, Lord. Lord, help me be sensitive. And you can't do that if you're asleep. You can't do that. You can't have revival if you're asleep. Your family can't be saved if you're asleep. with me today? Somebody say, I got to wake up. Shake myself and wake up. Come on. Nudge your neighbor on the arm. Say, hey, are you awake? No, I really mean, some of you need to do that. I've had some of you yawning even while I'm preaching this morning. I got you yawning a while ago. It's contagious, isn't it? Wake up. Are you awake? Are you awake?
Yes.
Are you praying? Are you reading your Bible? Are you fasting? Are you being spiritually sensitive? Are you staying attuned to the Spirit? Are you awake? Drugs put you right to sleep. There's a place for entertainment, but entertainment will put you to sleep if you give into it too much. There's a place for relaxation, and I get that, but too much relaxation will put you to sleep. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, let's raise our hands right now. Let's worship the Lord right now. Come on, somebody say, Lord, help me to be awake. Would you pray to the Lord right now? Ask him, God, help me to be sensitive to the Spirit. God, help me to be awake. Help me to be on fire. Come on, do you want to be on fire for the Lord today? Hallelujah. Somebody, would you come? Would you come to this altar? Can I get some of you just to come around, begin to pray as a church? Pray for one another's faith, Lord, that our faith would not fail. Come on, would you spend just a few minutes? We got time. Would you just spend a few minutes around this altar, church? Pray for one another. Just come and stand. I'm not going to keep you long. I'll just keep you a minute, but if you could just come and pray with one another, pray for one another. If you need somebody, maybe you just need to stand with somebody. Maybe you've recently gone through something. Maybe God's brought you through. Sister Wanda, where are you? Come up here and pray with people that are going through some junk. Come on, some of you have been through it already. Just come on. We just need to mix together, mingle together. I don't know what you're going through, but I know God's going to see you through. Come on, link up. Put your hand on each other's shoulders and grab each other by the hands. Do something. I'm talking about strengthening your brother, strengthening your sister in prayer, in faith. Come on, if I made it, you can make it. If they made it through, you can. If Sister Wanda made it through that, you can make it through this. If the devil tried to make that person lose their mind, they're still here. You're going to make it through this. If the devil couldn't kill them, he's not going to kill you. Come on, we're strengthening our brothers. You out there that haven't come up, link up with somebody out there. Begin to pray with one another right now. Come on, pray with one another right now. Lord, that their faith would be increased. Lord, that their faith would not fail. God, even though the tempter would come and tempt them, even though the Satan would try to sift them as wheat, even though life would try to wash them out and drag them down, I pray for their faith. I pray, God, that they would not enter into temptation. Oh God, wake us up, wake us up, wake us up. Help us to be alert, help us to be alert. Help us to be spiritually sensitive, Lord, in these last days. Could you pray in the Spirit for a little bit, church? Pray for one another. Come on, if you can pray in the Spirit, pray. Pray, 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 pray that we would not enter into temptation, Lord. Oh God, that we would rise above those things. If you want the Holy Ghost right now, throw your hands in the air. Begin to worship God. The Holy Ghost is in this place. You can receive the Holy Ghost right now. If you need to be baptized in Jesus' name and you've never been baptized in the name of Jesus, come and let us know. Come and let us know. We want to baptize you in the name of Jesus. But right now, I think everybody in this building needs a refreshing right now of the anointing of God, of the power of God, of the Spirit of God. Oh God, rain fresh on us right now. Rain fresh on us right now. I feel faith building. I feel strength building. Come on, you feel that? Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Do a work, Lord. Do a work, Holy Ghost. Do a work in us. Do a work in us today. I need you, Jesus.
come to my rescue. Where else can I go? There's no other name by which I am saved. You capture me with grace. I need you, Jesus, to come to my rescue. Where else can I go? There's no other name by which I am saved. Lord, you capture me with grace.
Isn't he a great Savior? Aren't you glad you know the Lord today? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Prayer at 5:30 tonight. Come early. Come early and pray. Bring somebody with you. Invite somebody to church. God is going to do some wonderful things here tonight. We're going to pray for the sick. They're going to be healed. We're going to pray for bound people. They're going to be delivered. Somebody, I believe somebody's going to receive the Holy Ghost tonight. I believe somebody will be baptized in Jesus' name tonight. But you've got to tell them. You've got to bring them. Go out there and be infectious. Go out there and spread this faith. What do you say? God bless you. Stay around the altar as long as you like. Stay at church as long as you like. But you are dismissed. Guests, thank you for being with us today. God bless you. We love you. Come back and be with us again.